Okay, on to a more important thing. Take a shower.
Okay. Let's welcome our nomads to the class. Okay. We're going to learn the last part of the halacha. We started with writing. And then we talked last week about different aspects of the things that the rabbis prohibited, like measuring, like dealing in business. And today we're going to discuss something that really comes up more often than you think. And actually, when I was learning these halachas, I had legit serious ramifications in shul, that I had to change something that we were doing in shul because I found out that we were doing something inappropriately. And it was easy to change, but it was a change that I think that people are just not aware of. Okay? So last week we saw these psukim from page 3, from, I think it was Yishayahu. So Yishayahu said he's trying to get people to be better Jews. So he said to them, we want you to keep the Shabbos. Right? How, he says, Im tashi mishabat raglecha asot chatzecha biyom kadshi, if you restrain your foot because of the Shabbos from pursuing your business on the holy day, the karata la Shabbat oneg likdosh Hashem mechubad b'chivato miasot rachecha nimso chatzecha v'daber davar, and you call the Shabbos a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor it, not doing your own ways, nor pursuing your own business, nor speaking in vain matters. So those are the four important words at the end of the pasuk. But these words, nimso chefcecha v'daber davar, vague things, right? What does it mean? It means pursuing your own business or speaking in vain matters. So we're going to have to figure out, what does it mean, pursuing your own business, and what does it mean, speaking in vain matters? What business did you say you're not wanting to do? He says, then, us, titanaga ha'ashem v'hirkartichicha alba matei aretz, then I will show the light in that you thou thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, blah, 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 blah. So how do you keep Shabbos? You have to stay away from mimtoch evtecha v'daber davar. So daber davar we spoke about last week, and we spoke about the idea of measuring, and about appropriate business dealings. What else did we talk about last week? Anybody? Anyone? I'm getting blank stares. Okay. What? This job is good, right? I did business dealings. I told good jokes. Don't read the ads in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Was that anybody else?
I didn't do it.
Good for you.
I looked at the pile of them.
I did.
That's my
question.
What?
Do you read the newspaper?
Do you read the newspaper?
The word.
Yeah, you see enough. What else do you enjoy doing? Do you enjoy reading a good book? Thank you. Well said. Meaning, I understand what you're saying.
It's relaxing for me. It's just relaxing. It's like first thing at 6 o'clock in the morning with my cup of coffee, bring the paper in, and I look at the pictures. I look at everything. I'm not planning.
I understand.
If I stop doing the eyes, it would be too weird.
Okay. But I understand what you're saying. Meaning, it's like your routine. It's, you know.
It's a routine. I have a routine, Shabbos.
Okay. Now, do you enjoy reading the paper?
Do I enjoy reading the paper?
Or just the circulars?
I read the paper too.
I mean, is there some way you can ease yourself off of the circulars? You know, like weaning yourself away from the circulars.
Anything's possible.
Okay, so it's a goal. I mean that. Meaning, but for some people, I'm not saying that. I don't want to be condescending at all. You all have our challenges, and I think I was pretty clear about this last week, that that everybody's on the level that they're at, and you have to say, well, I'm at this level now, where do I want to get to? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not being critical. Believe me, I have the same challenges. You know, it's a big yetzer hara for me to read the paper. It is.
But you're not supposed to read the paper.
I'm not going to get into it.
I'm with you, yes, yes,
yes. Right. What?
I'm just going to say we're relative to Jewish crisis
on Shabbos. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a paper that arrives on Shabbos. There are some issues that come up with papers that arrive on Shabbos. Okay? There are some issues that come up about that because of how it got there and how it was printed on Shabbos and things of that nature. The paper, by definition, is printed on Shabbos. So, that is a halakhic issue.
Given there's a reason for not reading it on Shabbos.
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. I intentionally didn't go there. But let's say, there are...
Stay away. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear anymore.
I was very clear about it. I said pretty clearly that, so I read the paper also. I read, the paper that I got on Friday. And until recently, so everybody has their own level. So it's hard for me now, I'll be honest with you, Cheryl, to leave the paper on the stoop on Shabbos this morning. Because I also wanted to read the paper, and I have the habit, I'm in the habit until very, really recently because of this class of reading the paper Shabbos morning. So everybody's got their own challenges, and I have my own challenges too. And some days you succeed, and some days you don't. And like one of the big things for me is I want to see what mail I got on Shabbos. I don't take in the mail, but I want to see what did I get. You know what I mean? Just to look in the mailbox, not to touch it, just open the mailbox. It's like, I don't know why. It's a big yetzer. I need to know, what am I going to do about it? Nothing. But for some reason, you know, you want to know what the mail is. Yeah. All right, so everybody has their thing, and you know, and I think it's really true. We all like you're always pushing the envelope. You know, like I spoke about that on Shabbos about the ramp, about you trying to push forward. So it could be very small things, but sometimes those small steps are really huge. You know what I mean about you know looking at the mail or whatever, because it just means that your mindset is about keeping of the Shabbos, and it's not my place to dictate to anybody where their struggles are, because each of us have our own problems, our own difficulties, and some people, it's not an issue at all. They don't want to look at the mail, and you know, they ignore the mail altogether. They don't care. It depends on the person, and I think that's an important thing to realize. You know, this isn't...
the idea of, like you said, though, if you think about that, if, how did it arrive on the doorstep that it was produced?
Right, and where did it come from? It's another problem. Okay, they came from outside the Tchum Shabbos. So it's hard to know. I never checked where they print. Does anybody know where they print the free press? Really?
Yeah.
So that's in the Tchum. So it might be okay. So the real question is, let's say, for example, there's a halacha, and this is actually a true halacha. We wanted to have Dunkin' Donuts on Shabbos. Somebody said, oh, we have Dunkin' Donuts. Why don't they just have them to make them on Shabbos morning and deliver them? Because then we'll really have good Dunkin' Donuts, and they're not being made by a Jew.
Fresh enough.
What?
Not fresh enough.
Not fresh enough, right. So the answer is, you're not allowed to be ne'enem mimaleches goy if the goy does malacha for you, and we're going to learn about this, but if a non-Jew does malacha, does work for you on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Mm-hmm. There's a big misconception about asking non-Jews to do things for you. Mm-hmm. Right? If he does it specifically for you, you're not allowed to benefit. So if they cook, you know, if they bake donuts for you, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Which is why in some cities they tell people also they're not supposed to buy the Dunkin' Donuts until the amount of time it would take them to bake the Dunkin' Donuts. Mm. So if you run out of shul on Moshe Shabbos, like you buy the clock, you have to wait how long does it take to fry up a donut?
1 hour.
What? 5 minutes, right. So don't wait on the door of Dunkin' Donuts. So again, now when they make a million papers, how many Jews are there that are getting those papers? And what's the circulation of the free press? Probably like 500,000, maybe. Is that a lot? I don't know.
The weekend is a joint, so there are probably a lot more.
Right. So how many Jews are there? What percentage are there?
90,000
Jews. How many get the free press or the...
Who knows?
Right. You know, let's say 30,000. So if they make 30,000 extra papers for the Jews on Shabbos, are we benefiting? I mean, they wouldn't make those anyway.
But you're getting it, if you have a weekly subscription, you're getting it anyway.
Well, what does that mean, you're getting it anyway? They're delivering it anyway.
Right.
Because you're paying for them to get it anyway.
Right.
You can't really say, I'm getting it anyway. Because you ask them to give it to you anyway.
Well, by the same token, you're paying for your electricity 7 days a week.
True.
That's the point.
True.
But meanwhile, the flyer is...
You get 7 days of newspapers on Monday.
Yeah.
The electricity.
One you know is coming on Shabbos.
But the flyers definitely are made before, because those.
Oh, the circulars. Oh, the circulars. So the newspaper is gone, but the circulars. Tell you, look at the pictures only. You know, don't look at the prices. You know, again, I would say to you, I understand where you're coming from. That's what I'm going to say to you. Okay, and we'll leave it at that. Okay. Okay. So says the Shulchan Aruch after that little confession. Says Shulchan Aruch, Mimchel Chefchecha. She where it says in Shinvav the small letters, because I made them as small as I could possibly make them. She where it says that I didn't have time to label. It was a busy day. Yeah, right in the middle at on page one. Mimchel Chefchecha. He's quoting Mimchel Chefchecha from the Navi. He's quoting those words. He says, "Chafatzecha asurim." Your possessions are forbidden. We're going to see what kind. Afilu b'davar she'ino oseh shum mulacha. Even if you're not doing any work, kagon, for example, shema'ayin nechasav li'ot masarich l'machar. Right? I got to look at what do I need for tomorrow. You know, I'm gonna go on my business trip. So I'm going on a trip right after Shabbos. Can I pack? She said, "Well, I'm just packing my clothes. My clothes are not mukta." Right?
But you're doing.
But that's hachana even. That's even preparing. Well, let's say I'm not even going to prepare. I'm going to now start examining. I'm going to walk through the aisles of my store and just make a mental note of what I have to, you know, work on tomorrow. So he says, you know, you're not allowed to do that. Oh, lelech lepetach hamedina, or to go to the, you know, to the edge of the city. I want to hit the bathhouses early, so I want to make sure I'm the first there, right? I have tickets to the Wings game, so I gotta, you know, be ready to go, be changed and ready to go to just make sure I get in my car the second Shabbos is over. All right, not a good idea. And furthermore, ein machshichin al atchum nisfar po'alim. You're not allowed. Machshichin means like to be like on the tchum, on the edge of the city, to go hire workers. You have a job that has to be done. You know, and you're getting ready before Shabbos, okay? Shaz the Shulchan Aruch, says the Mr. Brewer, Aleph, okay? Shema ayein nechasav, you're looking at your property. V'davka hecha de minkara milta. That's only if it's recognizable. I mean, if people can see that what you're doing, like you're walking around your store and people know what you're doing. Kedol l'chomeitzal sadehu atzvicha charisha, you're standing next to your field that needs to be plowed, or has to be cut. Why? Because people know why you're standing by your field on Shabbos. Because, you know, you have to do work. Aval, skip down to the end of that paragraph. Aval imlo. See in the middle of the paragraph? Aval. Aval imlo min kar milta. But if nobody can see, who bichlal fir hu ba'ashakav dimutar. You're allowed to think about the work you have to do. So if, you know, you're certainly permitted. So, you know, like people are sometimes concerned and they're worried or whatever. So humor, thinking, is mutter, right? You know, we all know the famous song, Ma Yedidut, right? Hir hurim mutarim, right? Remember we said, Hir hurim mutarim, l'shadeh chabanot. Last week we learned about l'shadeh chabanot. You're allowed to marry off your daughter on Shabbos. Hir hurim mutarim is also from this halacha. You're allowed to think about doing work, but you're not allowed to actually do anything that's recognizable that you would do the work for. Okay, so, you know, I don't know how many of us have recognizable things around it. This is really not, it doesn't come up all that often, that it's recognizable that you would do work. Can anybody think of an example of that? I don't really know. No? No? Okay. I don't know. Let's say you're a professional painter and you're going to paint your walls of your house and you have to like size up the room or something. Maybe, I don't know, you shouldn't do that, I guess. Okay, let's get to Dalit, because this really is very relevant to us. Hasochar esapoel, let's say I hire a worker, lishmor zra'im o davar acher. I'm hiring him to be a guard or some other thing, okay? His job is to come to young Israel and to sit in front of the building. Right? And he's just going to be there. That's his whole job. Basically to sit there and make sure that, I don't know, what does he make sure?
Who
knows?
Right, he just kind of sits there. Right, you know. Ahmed would walk in and he would say, hi, how you doing? I don't know. Okay. Okay. We used to make jokes about the YU security like that, you know. Anyway.
It's improved a lot.
Probably, yeah. Eino yotin lo shkar shabbat. You're not allowed to pay him for Shkar Shabbat. And if you hire a worker to work for you on a daily basis, you cannot pay someone to work for you on Shabbos, as we're going to see. Okay? Lefikach, therefore, ein achrayut Shabbat alav. So he's not responsible for Shabbos since you hired him. I hire Amir to watch my house. Right? Amir has to sit in front of my house and watch it. So since I'm paying him on a daily basis, I can't pay him for Shabbos, and therefore, Amir's not going to be there on Shabbos. Okay, so how do I get around that? Hayashchir Shabbat, but if I hire Amir for a Shabbat, for a week, Shchir Chodesh, or for a month, Shchir Shana, or for a year, Shchir Shavua, or for 7 years, Notin Lo Shchar Shabbat, then I can pay him for Shabbos. So you understand, you're starting to see the pattern. If it's just on a daily basis, you can't pay someone to work only on Shabbos. But if it's for a longer period of time, then you can hire that person for the extended period of time, and then you're allowed to, and therefore, lefikach achrayut Shabbat alav. Therefore, one second, the obligation of Shabbos is on him. Okay? Lelo yomer lo tein li shel Shabbat. He can't say, I want you to pay me for Shabbos. Ela omer, he says, tein li shchar hashavua o hachodesh. Alright? He says, oh, you know, but then he says, pay me for my week. Pay me for the work that I did. Okay.
What are you reading from right now?
Here, Mishnah Berurah, Dalet.
Oh, you're back on the...
Oh, sorry. Shulchan
Aruch.
I apologize.
Okay.
No, sorry. So what we learn from there... Yeah, Sandy, you were going to ask a question.
Yeah, how do you do with the babysitter?
Ah, excellent question. That's the... We don't skip ahead in this class. That's the question. Babysitter. The examples I thought of were numerous. Babysitter, we do it all the time. We ask a girl to come over and babysit for us. How do you pay the babysitter? Good question. Sounds from this like you...
You can't.
You can't, right? If you do it in that way, you can't. In shul, this is what came up, and we'll explain how we solved the problem. In shul, we have babysitters that come on Shabbos morning from 10 to 12. That's it. They don't come ever during the week. 10 to 12, Shabbos, oh yeah, and Yontif. Right? So what do? How do you resolve that problem if you're not allowed to hire somebody to work specifically on Shabbos? Sometimes, for example, let's say on Pesach night, I know people that do this, they'll tell their cleaning lady to come back. We want you to come back from, 9 to 12. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're specifically telling them to come from 9 to 12. Mm-hmm. So that's not, if from this, you're literally reading the Shulchan Aruch. The rabbis were going there, they prohibited you from doing this because it's like doing business. So is there a way for you to do this? Another example, Phil Toole has a much harder problem, right? Because he hires people to be his workers on Shabbos.
Cool.
The caterer.
Oh,
you're a Jewish
sure,
caterer.
Sure.
Right? He hires them specifically. I want you to come and work from this time to that time. And it's pretty complicated. So how do you resolve this question? So the Shulchan Aruch already suggested a solution to the question. Anybody want to guess? Other than David, who cheated? Anybody want to guess? No, not to the specific word. What's the solution?
Find a way to give them some work at the time it's not Shabbos.
Correct. Correct. And we're going to see, right, what you're going to do is you have to include it under the category of something that's larger than just Shabbos. Mm. It can't be only Shabbos. And once it's not only Shabbos, then the Gzeira, the decree of the rabbis, did not apply. Let's see Dalet now in the Mishnah Berurah where you were looking at. Dalet in the Mishnah Berurah. So, Chayat HaPoel. Myri is talking about Shisharo liyamin. You hired him for the days. Shabaab kol yom shiyishmerenu yitein lo kach v'kach. Every day that you work, I'll pay you such and such. Nowadays it's much more rare to have daily workers. Pretty much people with jobs are not paid by the day. But sometimes you are. You're paid, especially like caterers. You're hired by the party. You show up for the party, you work the hours, and then you get paid. Mm-hmm. And you count those hours. It's pretty tricky. Okay? look at Ted Zion. Eino noten, you're not allowed to give him money. Midi Rabbanan. It's rabbinic. Agzeira mishu mekach lumemkar. Okay? Look at Yudchet. Hayashir Shabbat. What if he was a worker for a week? He says, Hayinu shal kol shavua v'yachad. Right? You hired him for the whole week. V'al korcho, it must be, noten lo shchar Shabbat. Then you have to give him the pay for Shabbos. What I need to say is, she'afilu im yachzor ha'poel betoch hazman, eino menakelo shchar ha'shabbatot mizman she'avar. Right? That means that if the worker quits in the middle, you have to pay him the full amount. Because that was the deal. I'm paying you for the whole week. If I would deduct the amounts for the Shabbos or for any specific day, then I would be paying him per day. Mm-hmm. But in order to do it, I have to pay him for the whole week. Or afterwards. It doesn't matter if you pay him afterwards. Right. Ho'il, this is the important part. Ho'il, v'hu b'havla'a in sha'ar hayamin. I don't see that word havla'a. That's the key word here. Since it's b'havla'a, what does havla'a mean? Anybody know? I need my linguist. Gene is out of town still. Havla'a, anybody know? What's b'havla'a? In yeshiva, we're going to see in the English books, it's called havla'a. Havla'a. But it's havla'a. Okay, what does that mean? Havla'a means to swallow. So what you're trying to do is, the Shabbos is swallowed up by whatever else is around him. And that's the halachic terminology, the havla'a. Okay? Et cetera, et cetera. Okay, let's look on. Very interesting. Skip down to the end of that paragraph. Yeah. So that's the word, havla'a. In order to allow you to hire somebody to work for you on Shabbos, it has to be the havla'a, as we'll see.
Now, with today's labor law, people are paid hourly.
Yeah.
Anything over 8 hours in a day or 40 hours in a week is a time and a half. So if the person's working for Shabbos, unless you somehow rearrange, they're being paid, they would then be paid.
Ask me a question.
I'm just asking if people...
First of all, if you own a business, your business is not allowed to be open on Shabbos.
Okay.
So how many people pay their babysitters according to the labor laws?
No, but how many of us were supervisors who set people's schedules up ahead of time who weren't necessarily...
Yeah, but they're not working for you.
I was told that I couldn't give my secretary work over Yontif.
Personal secretary.
My work secretary. Who, no, I didn't hire. I mean, I hired her, but she didn't work for me exclusively. But she did my memos. She did my, I was told not to give her work over Yontif.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. I didn't tell you that.
No, Rabbi Weil did.
Okay. Good. I have to tell you, honestly, I'm learning as I go along, so I'm not 100% familiar.
So
that's interesting.
That's giving me a problem also with time and a half.
Why? But doesn't she work for the government, for the state?
Right, but I'm...
So what's the difference if she does it? True, but she's not doing it for you. She's doing it for the state, in reality.
Well, it depends how you look at it. If I have a, if I had a memo that was...
either she's going to do it now or do it later.
But
right?
I can't tell her, let's say I'm going to be off Thursday, Friday, Fiyanta. I can't have her do anything that I have to sign or that, you know, I personally will...
Why not? She could do it. Let's say you gave it to her Wednesday.
I don't know why. I was told that.
Well, for sure, you could do the following. You could do for her Wednesday. You could give her Wednesday, and if it was, you could say to her, I need this done by next Monday. So she could do it Wednesday. She could do it Thursday before.
Yeah, because a lot of times things don't come up to the last minute.
Correct. The same thing as giving a cleaner is your clothes. I'm moving, right. You know, you can't say specifically, I want you to do this dafka on Yontif.
But seriously, sometimes things would come up right at the end of the day or at the end of, you know, things like that. And also people who were,
So Rabbi Weil felt that was considered working for you, asking a non-Jew to do work for you. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And then, and even actually, now we're thinking about it, it would also create then the problem of the Shabbos, where if you have someone work overtime, or you put someone on standby, you know, even though they're a non-Jew to be called. Like, I never took calls Friday night and Shabbos.
Right.
I would trade it or something like that.
Right.
But those people got extra compensation.
Okay. But that's, so what?
So,
That's, they're working for the government. You're trading. You're trying to get off. Right? I don't see any problem with that. We have to look at it more carefully. Skip to the medium paragraph, not the wide. See the medium paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting halakha that people are not aware of. This I don't think relates to any of us, but very interesting. Hu avin otam shemalvin v'ribi le'eno Yehudi l'sana o chodesh. If you're a money lender, right? Let's say you lend money. That was a very Jewish profession back then because Jews were not allowed in the trades. So Jews lend money. So if you lend money to a non-Jew for interest for a month or a year, shvichin li zahar, you have to be careful. Shelo lahatnot im halo v'bisama. He says, because what's going to happen? You have to be careful not to say that you're going to count the number of days that this guy held money. Meaning, every day you're going to owe me 0.07% interest. You can't do that. It has to be by the month, which means if he pays you back late, a day late, it's either 2 months or 1 month. Because again, otherwise, then you are benefiting from business on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to do. No, you can do a week. Yeah, you could do a week. You could do, I mean, you know, whatever it is on Shabbos. Okay, let's look at Chaf Aleph, which is also interesting. Okay, so look what he says. He says, here, skip back, look back in the Shulchan Aruch at the top, where it's in the right in the middle. Do you know, you see where it says in Dalid? Okay, the third line in Dalit says, Velo Yomalo. I just want to read this piece again. Velo Yomalo, Tami Shel Shabbat. Let's say you worked on Shabbos, right? So I made a deal, and I'm working for the whole week. He said, don't say, give pay me for Shabbos. Ella, rather, Omer, Tami Shchar HaShavua O HaKodes. You say to your boss, I worked a week, pay me for the week. And now let us say, pay me for Shabbos. Okay? O Yomalo, at the end, or say to him, Tami Shchar Asawa Yamin. Pay me for my 10 days of work. Okay? Look down, Chaf Aleph. Very interesting question. Oh, Yom Malo, the very bottom of the page. Umashenoagin hasochrim, those people who are businessmen, liskor Yehudi be'erev Shabbos, lismor ha'agalot, min hagneva. Right? People used to hire other Jews to watch their car. Right? To watch their wagons, that they wouldn't be stolen over Shabbos. Hadavar kasher. It's a tough one. Ech hasocher over alif me'iver. The socher, this businessman is violating the halacha of lif me'iver. You ever heard of this halacha of lif me'iver? It's a halacha that says you're not allowed to put a stumbling block before a blind man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which means you're not allowed to give somebody an opportunity to sin, put it right in front of them. Mm-hmm. So here, you're violating his precept of least neiver, because you're telling a guy who needs the money, I want you to work for me on Shabbos. So he says, how is it they're not violating least neiver? Why? Kevan shiyodesh vadaya kabel schar Shabbos. You know that when you tell this guy, watch my car, you know he's gonna keep the money. Here's what you should do. It's interesting. Chachal Shabbos, right? They give you the solution also. Make a condition. Here's the deal. It's not just, I'm going to shul, and right before Shabbos you start, and right at the end of Shabbos you're done. A couple hours before Shabbos, a couple hours after Shabbos. V'az have a kischar Shabbos, see that word? Behavla'a. Right? It's schar Shabbos behavla'a b'sharei. So the rabbis only prohibited working specifically on Shabbos. So your out is, your solution is, if you can suck it up into something else. So you'll say to him, I want you to start before and end after, and then you solve your problem. Any questions?
Okay, why not say that either hiring them would be so that you're not setting up something that someone will want to steal on Shabbos?
What do you mean?
To be stolen from.
Well, they didn't have locked garages back then.
Okay.
So what are you supposed to do?
Some
guy was going to come steal your horse and wagon.
He was going to steal the product out of your
right.
truck.
Correct.
So that's lifnei iver. You're leaving it right there on the street.
Where are you supposed to put it?
Well, hiring the guards to help prevent someone from doing that.
Correct. But what he was saying was that people, obviously in their times, this is written by the Chayi Adam. And obviously this was a problem in their time, that people were doing this only for Shabbos. They were trying to save money. Right? So he says, I can watch my own stuff until Shabbos. But come Shabbos, you know, like people are very firm with themselves and not with other people. So on Shabbos, I don't want to think about business, right? Right? So, you know, up to Shabbos I can worry about. But on Shabbos, I don't want to mess with my thing. Hey, Shmerel, can you watch my truck for me for Shabbos? Sure. You know, and then I'm free. Right? I've got no problem. I'm like at the firmest of the firm, the holiest of the holy. I'm sitting with my Rebbe all Shabbos. While some guy, some shnender who needs the money, is watching my truck. Oh, poor guy. You know, you really shouldn't be watching trucks on Shabbos. You know, and then we look down on those people when they're working for us. Okay. Skip to page 2. Turn to page 2. I have a few things that I brought to you as changing from last week. But first I want to do the English. B1. This is from Rabbi Rivio. Absorbed earnings or payments. The principle of, see that word? Havlah, right, in English. But in Hebrew it's Havlah. The prohibition of Schar Shabbos means paying somebody for work on Shabbos, only applies when the earning of payment is received specifically for the period of Shabbos. Whether this is for service rendered on Shabbos, i.e. being paid specifically for babysitting on Shabbos, or assets earnings that are payable for the time of Shabbos, i.e. leasing a store to a non-Jew on Saturday morning. Right? So if I have a store, let's say they say to you, this happens very often, people will take a storefront, and then the mall, the owner will come and say, yeah, you got to be open 7 days a week. Why? That's the deal. You got to be open 7 days a week, because otherwise we don't have enough traffic coming in into our property. Mm-hmm. So what's the solution? It's a very difficult, tricky solution to own a business that's open on Shabbos. So one of the things you can't do is say, you know what? You now do rent my business for Shabbos, and you take care of it. That's not allowed, right? Because you're still benefiting from that, from those earnings. What do you mean? What? However, if the Shabbos earnings are contractually combined with other non-Shabbos earnings, then the payment may be permitted. This halachic concept is called havla'a, i.e., the Shabbos payment is not an independent debt, but is either absorbed as part of a total payment agreement. However, the arrangement must be previously negotiated as one comprehensive employment and payment package of which the Shabbos payment is only a part. So if you know that you have a babysitter coming and you need that babysitter for Shabbos, what else do you have to do?
Get another day.
Right. You say, I'm hiring you for these 2 days, and I'll pay you for those 2 days specifically. And it's a constant learning process. I wasn't aware of this, and then you find out about it, and what do? So you have to correct the situation.
Right, so what do you do for the 7 days business?
What do you mean?
For a day other than Shabbos something?
What do you mean?
But you're saying...
To be open on for 7 days on Shabbos?
You're open on 7 days.
It's a very, very tricky and difficult.
So what did you do with the babysitters?
Ah, let's see. Payment for babysitting through Havla. Page 3. Utilizing the principles of Havla to solve the common problems of babysitting for pay on Shabbos is a good illustration of how a permissible arrangement can be made. Hold on 1 second. Page 3. Okay. Can be made. A woman or girl who provides babysitting services at an hourly rate may not receive payment specifically for the hours spent on Shabbos. Accordingly, she may not charge for the babysitting if the hours of babysitting were only for Shabbos. However, if she babysits or provides another service, i.e. housekeeping, during the week as well, she may negotiate a total unified fee schedule based on a weekly or monthly plan. Okay? For example, if a woman or the girl babysits, blah, 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 you can be the example yourself. What did we do here? See, here's the problem with Havlah. It's a very fine line between legitimate and illegitimate. You know what I'm saying? Meaning, what's considered legitimate and what's considered not legitimate. So, and I want to skip. Turn to page 4 for a minute, please. Okay. The bottom right-hand corner. This is from the Art Scroll book. Okay. The allowance applied even if most work is done on Shabbos, so long as it is included in an arrangement whereby some work must be done before or after Shabbos. According to some poskim, it is permissible to accept payment for a service provided only on Shabbos if the service requires some preparatory work before Shabbos, or if an expense was accrued because of the service performed on Shabbos. Okay? The payment for service done on Shabbos is the added to the payment of the preparatory work or the reimbursement for the expense, and is therefore considered to be included with the weekly payment. Okay, so what did we do here in Shul? What did I do? A simple solution. Babysitting, if you notice, they need supplies, right, for the little kids. So I said, first of all, we were paying them every 2 weeks, which was specifically for the hour. And so we said to them, why don't we do the following? Let the women buy some supplies. Each of them will buy, like, apple juice. That's what they use. Okay? And instead of paying them only for the hours, we're now paying them a lump sum for the hours that they work, plus the apple juice expense that they incurred.
And that's permissible.
That's permissible. See what he says. He said, or the reimbursement for the expense, and is therefore, which again, preparatory work, or if an expense was accrued because of the service performed on Shabbos. Right? Now, it's interesting. Becky Eisen suggested, she asked me, she said, well, can we add another hour instead of having to go get the juice and supplies and blah, blah, blah? Why don't we ask them to do, you know, a little bit of preparatory work beforehand? So here's the problem. I couldn't envision realistic preparatory work for the babysitters and the children's room. Mm-hmm. What would they have to do to prepare?
I don't know.
What?
Clean the place.
No, they don't want to make them clean. They don't, and then before, that means they'd have to come here not on Shabbos and clean.
Another day.
Meaning, we don't want to make it too hard for them. You want to make it realistic, but you see the fine line that we're walking? On the one hand, I wanted them to do something legitimate and have the Havla be real. On the other hand, we don't want it to be onerous that they wouldn't be able to do it or, you know, it would make life difficult for them. So I thought that this was a good arrangement. Okay, so again, you see that it's possible to find a way of doing it in a permissible way, but it's a little bit tricky. Look at the footnote. Okay? This is a footnote from the Art Scroll. It's always interesting, these books. The books are in English, and the footnotes are in Hebrew. Small. The footnotes are where the action is. You know, it's where the really interesting stuff is. He says, "V'yesh l'pakpek al zeh." So this is a little bit. I'm a little doubtful. "Shinira davka be'ofen shapol be'emet oved be'erev Shabbos." He says it's got to be really where the worker actually does something on erev Shabbos. "V'haschar mishtalem gam avor otan shaot." And you're paying them for those hours too. Meaning, with Havla, I think I'm trying to illustrate, it's easy to see how it can quickly become a joke. Hmm. You know, like, in some schools they have children doing groups on Shabbos. So we have children doing groups also, and they pay the kids. So why? So they say, well, we pay the kids for the preparation work that they do before. Now, if anybody has ever led a youth group on Shabbos, they know how much prep work you do before Shabbos. What? Right. You know, like, you know, like, what am I doing? Okay, what am I doing? You know, and so if they're careful to do it beforehand, that's fine. I was going to say, your kids actually do the prep work. You know, a lot of the kids, oh, I got groups, whatever. You know, and then they show up, which is fine, but it's not real prep work. That's okay. Just like the Chayadon illustrated, So HaYehudi Shomer Et HaGalot Gam B'Erev Shabbos U'B'Motzei Shabbos. Right? Remember we learned the Mishnah Berurah. He said, do an hour or two before, an hour or two after. That's real work. Then the Havlah works, if it's real. Aval Ba'ofan, but in a way, Shesocher Kelu Nesu'udah HaNe'erechet B'Shabbos U'Lifnei Shabbos Ein Lo Tzum Tzorech U'Barur Shebishvil Shchut HaShimash Be'Erev Shabbos. But it seems to me, let's say, for example, you were renting a, what would you rent on Shabbos? Tablecloth, right? I'm renting tablecloths to you. So you pick them up before Shabbos, and you're not going to put them on until, like, on Shabbos, and you're not going to, you take them off the tables right away. So then I'm benefiting from your renting my tablecloths only for Shabbos. And even though you picked them up before, and you used them afterwards, it's a little bit tricky. So you have to be aware. Okay. Shomazam and Orbach was a Gadol Hador in Israel recently, and he only passed away recently. Dechazanim ha-mekablim schar. If you're a chazan and you're paid, ayadeh mitpalalim tfila achat v'yemot hachol. So how can you pay a chazan for working on Shabbos? So some people say that since he's doing a mitzvah, you can pay him. But others say, no, here's the solution. You pay the chazan because not only does he dive in during the on Shabbos, but he also davens during the week. And he can use a band to daven during the week. He says, Sarah Shatiyelo Tfilah Miyuchedet Shemishalmim Alei Askar. It's got to be a good davening. It's got to be one of those davenings that you pay him for. And what would you pay somebody for during the week? Let's say he has to lane during the week. Something that's something somewhat valuable. Avalon Morel Shiyatala Tfilas Mincha Shelcho. It's not enough. You say, okay, the Chazan Shia, let him daven Mincha Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Yes, all I'm trying to point out to you is that the Havlah, if you're hiring somebody to do something for you, you can easily turn it into a joke. You're having your babysitters. You say, I want you to pick out three books to bring that you're going to read to my kids. You could do better than that.
That you're hiring either begun with the Shabbos
practice. Or to show up.
No, practice before. So
that's very good. That's legitimate. That is absolutely legitimate. But then, if they're a real chazan, then they'll practice. And that practice is legitimate. And now we come to the solution to David's problem. Right? Paul Cohn makes a kiddush. So I hire him for the kiddush. He didn't just show up with the food. The food didn't spontaneously generate itself.
Right? That's what you're paying for, though. You don't care when or how he does it.
Again, as long as you have a legitimate amount of work that's beforehand, then even though you're paying him to show up and serve the food on Shabbos,
there's no way he can actually do it in a period of time on Shabbos.
No, he's not doing it on Shabbos. It wouldn't be kosher. Yeah.
The benefit is for Shabbos.
It doesn't matter. Again, I'm benefiting to have that babysitter babysit from you on Shabbos. The point is I have to make the arrangement in such a way that it's all inclusive.
So these women that show up with jewel calls with jewel.
Yes.
So, per se,
it's that's not your problem. Yeah. It's his problem.
It's an arrangement, per se, that it's something.
What? You can eat the kugel, but I mean, it's his responsibility to know that he's not allowed to pay them only. He's not allowed to say, okay, how many jobs did you work, and I'll pay you for those jobs. It's his responsibility to say, I'm going to hire you for these amount of jobs, and I'm paying you for the whole package. So you have to, you have to be careful. Yeah, especially catering. They say, he writes caterers. I see right now on page 4. Very good. Bal Kori, right above there. To avoid any halakha compromise, a balkari who is paid to lane, read the Torah, should arrange to lane at least once during the week to set the laning fee for both days at once. Very nice. He may also arrange to be paid for the preparation and combine the two as one job and fee. Again, if you're a balkari and you know you're anything worth your salt, you have to prepare. So as long as you don't do that preparation on Friday night, you're okay.
How about the mitzvah?
What?
How about saying it's for a mitzvah?
Right, it's a kula. That's also another kula. They allow it for a mitzvah. Two. B4, catering. A caterer who was hired to prepare a kiddush on Shabbos may set a fee and receive payment for his work because much of the work and preparation for which he is paid is done before Shabbos. And payment is therefore permitted under the principle of havlah. But he cannot come to you afterwards and say, your meal went long, I had to stay an extra hour and pay my workers another hour, so I want you to pay me such more. Right? Because then you're clearly, the whole thing goes out the window. You're paying it specifically. Moreover, the caterer must incur expenses before Shabbos for the job, and can hold the client responsible to pay for those expenses for the client back out. Thus, the job package entails payments for services provided outside of Shabbos as well as on Shabbos. Note, see the bottom. Caterers and hotel and restaurant operators must consult halachic authorities before deciding questions on the basis of what is presented here. It's very serious stuff. I don't own a catering hall, I don't own a restaurant, I don't own a hotel, but you have to know how to do it, because otherwise, you're violating Rabbanans left and right. And, you know, and it just, it happens commonly for babysitters or for, you know, people, we have people come over. You know, and sure, we have it a lot, like the security guards, and when you hire the guards to do nothing again this year, you should be aware that there should be something else involved. I'm talking to Steve, because you're on the board.
I don't hire.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this non-Shabbos preparation, it sounds like we should err on the side of the, and it's a specific activity. Though.
Yeah.
Not like I went to college and therefore I have some skill set and I'm associated.
Correct. Correct. No, it has to be something real, something legitimate.
Some specific activity.
Well, I would say, let's say I want my cleaning lady to come on Pesach night, right? But without a doubt, she's coming before Pesach too. Right. So what I would say is, I need her for such and such a time, and I would make an arrangement for it, and I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars for the entire pre-Pesach shindig. Right. And then you're covered. Okay. As long as you include it with, that's real work. The ideal situation is if there was real work that they were doing and not on Shabbos. The hard part comes in where you have somebody who really only shows up on Shabbos and is doing this work for you. Mm-hmm. That's tricky, and you have to be aware of it. Like, you know, in a shul also, like we have the janitors came in on Shabbos. So there's no problem with them doing it, but if you're paying them, now that I think about it, we had this, I think it was like a 3-day yontif. So the bathrooms in any place, you know, at the third day of the 3-day yontif are unbearable. So we have the janitors come in, so we should be aware of this, that when they come in, they can't charge us specifically, we have to arrange beforehand that we're going to pay them a lump sum for the whole deal. And I think that every now and then, every one of us comes up with, you know, comes into these things. Let's say, for example, you make your own bar mitzvah, right? You make your own bat mitzvah, but you're having, you know, a couple of ladies come over and help you serve. Right? And we've all done that at one point or another. So these are very legitimate, very real halachas that apply in real life. Okay. Any more questions about havlah? Because I have a couple of other side things that I wanted to share with you. I just had to share with you. That shows up in the city. Look on page two, please. The first thing is an interesting halakha. Look at Yud Aleph, the second paragraph. Mutar liknot bayit be'eretz Yisrael min ha'ein yehudi b'Shabbos. You're allowed to buy a house from a non-Jew on Shabbos in Israel. V'chotein...
By paying and everything, or...
Well, usually when you buy a house, you don't pay.
Okay.
Right, when you buy a house, you just sign your life away. Okay. No money.
Yeah.
Right? V'chotein, and you seal it. Umala be'arkaot shalahem. And you're allowed to go to their courts. Hagat biktav shalahem. With their writing, meaning not in English. De'eno aser rak midrabanan. This is a big kula. I mean, tremendous kula. Apparently, he says, it seems like, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to sign something in English, because in English, there's a shita of the Or Zarua that says, it's only aser midaraisa in Hebrew. We don't pass it that way. Nobody passes like that. I mean, nobody but nobody. But still, why? And Yishuv Eretz Yisrael lo gazu. But because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, if you have the opportunity to buy a house from an Arab in the old city of Yerushalayim, and you think you're going to lose it tomorrow, he comes to you and says, I'm going to sell you today, I've got to fly out of here, I'm going to go to Dearborn, you're going to pay me. They do this all the time in Israel. All the time. There are people that we know from our community that are involved in this extensively. Raising money to buy houses from Arabs in Israel. Right? And they have extensive land holdings in eastern Jerusalem. I mean, really, like a lot of land.
But one thing, how you are thinking business on Shabbos?
Oh, because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because there's a commandment to settle land of Israel.
If you're here and you want to move.
No, now you want to move. You're there. You're there.
You're there.
Yeah. It's not for us here.
You're settled anyway. You're already settled.
If some guy comes to you, an Arab comes to you, on Shabbos, and says, I'm going to sell this land on Shabbos, come to me. We'll work it out. But that happens, by the way. I mean, to be honest with you, when these Arabs sell their houses, they're gone. Because if somebody else, you know, if somebody finds out about it, they're really in trouble. Uh-huh. So they pay them a lot of money. Okay, we'll give you like $2 million. Goodbye. Start a new life in Dearborn. Huh. Have a fun time. You know, and it's either, sometimes it really is down to the wire, now or never. Hmm. And so the halacha, the rabbi said, I just wanted to show you this. Like, wow. The idea of using the Eretz Yisrael, settling down in Israel, so important, so significant, so monumental, that I'm like real coolest, I mean real, real leniencies in order to allow this to take place. Okay, so the Mr. Brewer, he sort of mitigates it a bit. You can't write, he has to write for you and whatever. But it was such an interesting thing to see that this idea that even on Shabbos, that the settling the land of Israel is so important. Okay, this is a very modern Orthodox shimon, as we'll soon see. remember last year, last week we spoke about the idea of hiring somebody who's going to teach your child Torah or a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a piece that I had, I copied onto these sheets also. See the top? Rolando Sefer or Umnus. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, there's a Mishnah Berurah written by the Chafetz Chaim. And then again, he also, in the smaller print on the side of it, it's called the Bir Halacha. Not the Bir Halacha, it's called the Bir Halacha, I think. Yeah. And he writes like interesting essays or topics that come up. Da. One second. You should know. So he comes with a whole long essay now about teaching your son a trade. No. The Tanayim Iflugu Bezeh Ha'inyan B'Gemara. They argued about this topic in the Gemara. Some people say a father has to teach his son Torah and also a trade. Or teach him business. The Tana, Rabbi Nehorai, Amar, in the second line, Rabbi Nehorai said, forget it. I'm not teaching my son anything except Torah. No trade, no practice, no job, no nothing. Shako umaniyot shebaolam omdos ola adam be'esi al bisa. Right? Because when a person is born, he can have any job he wants. U'le'ezik naso meish muto barad. But when he dies, he's starving, he has no food, meaning it's all so temporary. Aval Torah omedos ola adam be'al bisa, but Torah stands for him when he's born. Even when he's weak. Okay? So it's very interesting. He quotes this, there's an argument in the Gemara, by the way, and this argument actually, as we all know, in today's day and age, is a very prevalent argument. Do I teach my child a job and Torah, or only Torah? Okay? Umikom makom, nonetheless. Ganja shemalamu bimil uminus, sarach lakuli alma lalando mitkila. But if you teach him a trade, you also have to teach him Torah. The Gam be'eshu who osek b'melachto, and even when he's doing his work, Torah v'yir shemayim. Very interesting. He's making a social comment. When you have a job, you're selling paint, right? You can't just say, "Well, now that I learned my Torah, and now I'm just going to go be a paint salesman." He says you have to be studying Torah the whole time. Why? The ilav hachi. If without it, without learning Torah at the same time, yimatzei b'melachto gufa kama inyanim mi'iser gezel. But there's no doubt, if he's not learning Torah along with it, in his job he's going to end up stealing. Right? He's also going to come pray to other things. He's going to abandon his religiosity. If he's not learning Torah while he's also engaged. Meaning, a person can't say, well, now I'm entering the work world, and so I learned my Torah when I was a kid, and that was then, and now I'm moving on. This is something that I preach very strongly. Ubi Pratri Yameinu, this is a Chafetz Chaim writing, specifically in our time, Shalko Mipazim B'Mekomot Harde, everybody spread out. Asher Ein Am Yisrael Shomei Hadat Tartara Mitzvah Sam. So you go and you're a representative for Sherman Williams in Howell, for example. Right? No Jews living in Howell. You're living in Howell. Okay?
Not anymore.
What?
Not anymore?
There are Jews now in Howell?
There was one.
There was one, okay.
The Grand Wizard.
If you're not a person that's steeped in mitzvos and fearing heaven, right? If you don't know what to do, you can end up being doing chilas shabbos. Look at all these business halachas that nobody knows about. Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? The afila b'limud haTorah, even learning Torah, we know that it saves you from trial and tribulation, and saves you from sin. On the second line from the bottom, this is a very important line. Amru, the rabbi said, "Kol Torah she'ein imah malacha, any Torah that does not have a job with it, who I think he says, Eze Esek, or some kind of business." End of the line. Sofa b'teila v'goreres avon. It will end up being nullified and it will cause you to sin. Kol she'ein b'limun ha'malacha b'lo Torah, it's the same certainly true if you only learn a job and not Torah. Ravadigo rivers avonos harbe certainly causes many sins, etc., etc. So very interesting social commentary. He says in Machlokas of the Gemara, it's not all or nothing. Even if you're a person that wants to learn, you have to have some kind of parnasa on the side. And even if you're a person that wants to work, you certainly have to have Torah on the side. Now, but I just found this a very fascinating commentary that he adds in. You know, that people, I think the people nowadays, They want their kids to only go into learning. Only go into learning. It's very nice, but what do you do now? You have, you know, this happens all the time. Four kids, and now the kolo just cut you off, because in Israel they cut off all the stipends, and this happened to thousands and thousands of people. They cut off all the stipends, the kolo cut you off, you have four kids, you're, you know, 28 years old, no experience, no job training, and no nothing. Now what do you do?
Your father tells you that your brother tells your brother to support you.
No, it's not so simple.
That's what happened with my nephew.
Your brother supports you. That's only if
all... My brother called my nephew
yeah.
to support his brother.
And did he?
And he's doing it.
That's a nice nephew. What was your nephew doing?
He's a CPA.
What would be if all the brothers were learning from?
You know, balance your kids.
And the Chafetz Chaim wrote this. The Chafetz Chaim wrote this over 100 years ago. And I think
awesome.
Even though with all the wealth, I think it's, oh yeah, good. I think it's equally true today. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, I think that you have to have something, you have to have some way of supporting yourself and not your wife. You know, and you have to have some realistic way of supporting yourself. It's just, I just found it very interesting. I call this a very modern Orthodox Shimon, because we have, yeah, working on Shabbos, but you also have Zionism, and you have work, and you have learning a trade. All things that are important parts of the Jewish religion. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue.